tape. Today is October the 28th, 1994, and we're gathered. This is a Friday, so we're gathered in a special business meeting having to do with legal affairs and so forth. Greetings, Commander.
Good afternoon. Hackon present. I don't think it's even in visible light, but it may be a little difficult for you ones. This is a most special day. Dorma's probably the only one in here that really, really understands the significance. And that's really a cop-out. She says, aha, another live one. We're not about insignificant things like quarrels over books, over truth, over lies. One group against another group to try and gain either egotistically, stature-wise, or money, God forbid. It's very important to you, and money must be considered always. Do not be foolish enough ever to think that it honors God to go wallow in the gutter. On the other hand, as long as it is your focus and nothing else, you're in trouble. I have to explain a little bit before we go on, and I'm going to ask that EJ or Scott, one or the other, does some introduction so that we know what we're about before we go on. This is important. There's some evaluation to be done that is not as important as is the status of the ones that have come to visit. Because what we need to establish is a variance between religions and spiritual truth. And we touch on it every now and then, and I have letters piled up, you know, why do you continue to badger us about world events and the world order ad nauseum when we just want some spiritual truth and just assent. I need to explain to our guests, first of all, what this is about. As we began to share in communications, I was very negligent. She was very stiff and wanting to please. And so we would go for 3 or 4 hours, and she would be like this. 4 hours later, tried to get her out of the chair, she collapsed. This is a sharing, an energy sharing force field. And in return for service, she can expect some things from me. And I usually let her down every now and then, you know, we arrange it, because she will hide behind her closed eyes. There are several reasons for that. One, distraction. What she sees distracts her. That is not, however, the reason for the glasses. And I want that well understood before we go farther. Why would it appear to be some gimmick out of Hollywood that will require her to wear dark glasses? Is she trying to hide behind them? Well, she would. Let me tell you, she would if she could. Because as with any of you who are not professional speakers or teachers, it's intimidating to be in front of a group. It is more intimidating to be in front of a group having to perform, having to bring truth or your lessons when you'd like to be anywhere else but up here. And if you're not a teacher, you know why fathers send me Why me? Why not you? Or you? Or you? All of you are out there on your knees saying, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord, just let me do my work. All you've got to do, sir, is tell me my purpose, provide me with money to do it, the way to do it, a recipe for doing it, and I sure do it if I have time. And by God, I'm going to do it my way. The gentlemen here deserve and need to know how this works. One needs to know because he is the attorney. The other needs to know because he understands and knows God, and he has been waiting for this for all of his life. The rest of you, we're still getting our lessons. And we're going to go into kindergarten lessons today, not as an insult, but as a full explanation. A picture is worth a thousand words. That is an old adage. And you will not forget today, because it will be quite silly from time to time. But an attorney deserves to have all the knowledge that he can gain to get up to defend. And every man searching for God, knowing of a greater purpose than anything that has come before, deserves to know with what he's dealing. And neither one involves a grandmother sitting in a chair in front of the room preferring not to be here. We're going to do some things today that we have not done before, and I just want all of you to know if there are any errors, they are her fault. We're going to make her literally open her eyes and do some things. Remember, you can do things and still be connected. I will also say that in protection of her, she will probably not remember very much of what she does here. She is not in point with one exception, and that is that she receives what I offer. And because she is seeing what I offer all along the way, it is as simple as hypnosis and trance, sitting here in the trance. And I didn't get it done in time. I wanted to read that letter from Janet Reno, but we must go on with this.
Hello.
Hi. You have an AT&T collect call.
We will accept.
Wait till. Mm-hmm. Wait a second. Just wait till. It's automated.
Hello? Yes.
We
sure did. We're okay now.
What's going on?
Ron, Commander here.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate your making the effort to meet our needs and call in. I had planned for Rick to be able to read the letter from regarding Janet Reno, etc. I have not been able to give the gentleman visiting here a proper introduction or what role that you will be playing. But I wanted them to hear the energy. I wanted them to hear your voice, because we have a major, major job to be done. and these gentlemen will also be very, very active in it, but one will be in a more spiritual avenue. The other is a lawyer, and I don't know how to describe a lawyer's avenue. We also have Mr. Tipps here, who is an attorney. Well, I like to think of Scott Tipps as a lawyer. There's a difference in a lawyer and an attorney.
I'm aware of that.
Well, don't spoil my joke. That's number one. You must learn never to step on Commander's jokes.
In the future.
An attorney is one who just tries to get your money. And he is also one who takes a client and tries to protect you as a client from others in his profession. And then there are lawyers, and this is no joke. These are ones who study the law, try to go by and act within the laws, both of the land and of the Constitution. We're just lucky anymore if you can find one that will work according to the laws of the land. And yet you're going to have to go back to the laws of the Constitution. Now, Ron, I'm going to spoil your input because I want everybody in this room to know that you're going to have a new world order whether you like it or you do not. That does not mean that the United States of America, under God, with a constitution that states the laws under God, have to be forfeit. But there will be, you already have it, a new world order.
I don't object to a new world order as long as it's put in by the people and not the politicians.
Right.
And furthermore, when I reinstitute and place into existence the 13th Amendment, that's going to correct a number of our problems in this country.
Most lawyers are not going to like you, however.
It doesn't make any difference to me. All 720,000 could come at me at once, and with truth, I'm going to bury them, every one of them. Anybody that gets in my road and messes with my country has me to contend with. And I believe that, and I am not insane. I am a person who believes in this country, and make no mistake, it is going to be a part of our world. The one world order, I don't care about, but I want the people of this country to vote on it, and some pseudo-intellectuals that think that they have the ability to say for me and this country are wrong, and I'm going to teach them a lesson, and I will do and take whatever means necessary to do it. I will try peaceful means, and I will utilize everything at my disposal to do anything and everything that I do within the law and as prescribed by the people. If I cannot, then I'll take other means. And it's as simple as that. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm just a person who wants to be left alone, want to mind my own business, and I don't want some meatball from Arkansas telling me what I think. Nor do I want one from California or Colorado. I want the people to make the decisions. If they decide they want a one world order, then that's what it will be. But it's not going to be imposed on me or anyone else.
Well, what we're basically talking about in a one world order is a one world global government.
Well,
and so you have a situation where you do not have to sacrifice.
You're going to have to put people a hell of a lot sharper than Bill Clinton in there to run it.
Yes, but you're going to have to put a lot sharper people in there than Jocelyn Elders also.
She's just as bad as he is.
That's right. So you're... Well, we could talk about this all day. And
my
don't.
Time is up. I got in on the phone with somebody else's time. But it was nice to talk with you, and I love you all. And I'll be seeing you very soon.
Yeah, that's good news. Thanks a lot, Ron.
Yes, as a matter of fact, you will.
Okay, thanks.
It's time. Thank you, and we'll let you off. I had hoped that he would talk, you know, call just a little bit later after we were able to discuss some of the things. The man has connections, and they're important connections for you. He has access to the money pot, and you're going to get an awful lot of it. It looks like it would be so nice if God would just, you know, I have a letter here we're going to have to share, whether you have to come back, you people that are local, to have this on Sunday or some other time. We'll see how far we can get. I think that the reason these gentlemen are here is to literally experience whatever it is we're experiencing, and it gives me a chance to pound them on the head with a 2x4 a little bit too. But as usually happens, I don't have to wait around too much for the proper questions to come, and we have a brother who's really written in here, you know, for the 5,000th time, demanding, getting more gentle about it. But why don't you just, you know, you can make gold, why don't you make it? You can make it right for us, why don't you do it? I'm sorry, people. If you are still waiting for God to do it for you, you don't even have a glimmering of what life is all about. You are the result of light, L-I-G-H-T. You are a manifest projection of energy. You live in an electric universe of waves. And that makes it sound like, oh, out we go. No, those are ripples. You are in a duality of universal energy flow, and you actually work on a piston. You don't go anywhere, you don't do anything. But your experience is projected to you first as holographic form made manifest into physical matter compression, and you perceive motion through action and thought propulsion, if you will. I'm not here to explain the entire workings of the universe, although I would far rather do that. I understand that. I don't understand human beings. And you're asleep. Well, wake us up and tell us the way it is. Hallelujah. Give us the one to do it for us. Save us. You're going to wait a long, long time. And the longer you wait for someone to save you, the farther you're going to get away from that which you seek. And religion will do you in. Earth religion will do you in. Religions are made by man. Spirituality is a connection with God. So I'm not very popular. Maybe that's why I don't have a group. It's a lot easier to go to church, put in your tithing. And tithing is nothing but a tax. And you will witness the Mormon church, how it utilizes it, just with your friend Bo Grimes, withdrawing from the Mormon church because they insist upon having a tax report copy of your tax bill and what you paid. Why would they want that? The only reason they could possibly want it is so they know when you're fudging on your tithing. Well, if that's what you want from God, then you stay over in the church and leave me alone so that I get my work done. Because the ones who travel with me are here for a different reason. And New World Order, Old World Order, it doesn't matter what. It is totally unimportant. It is what your intent is within yourself. And you can live and work within either order, the old, the new, the oppressive, the incarceration, and never be incarcerated. You can only have freedom through spiritual truth. And I'm going to show you a little bit about how you don't have to see what I'm talking about to see it. EJ, I would appreciate it if you or Terry, someone would do some introductions so that we can understand on the tape.
I had the sneaky plan to ask Scott to do it.
Well, let's make him do it.
All right. Hold on just a minute. We'll get the microphone ready for him.
How much of an introduction do you want?
Very good.
Okay. Yes. Well, being a lawyer, whatever you're comfortable with.
A man of few words, I hope. Sitting to my left is Terry Gross, whom you've probably met, at least some of you have met before. Terry Gross is a lawyer, not an attorney, a lawyer.
Thank you.
A lawyer from the San Francisco Bay Area, and one with whom I went to law school with, so I've known Terry for some time now. And he had the good distinction of having gone and practiced in New York, and he's admitted in three different states. In fact, I was very impressed with him at his bar exam. He took two states' bar exams the same week, back to back, passed them both. And sitting to Terry's left is Lonnie Cleaver from Dallas, Texas, and he is he's an expert in religions, and I just met him this morning, so Terry might be able to give a better introduction if you care to.
Okay, first I'll tell you a little more about myself and I guess why I'm here. The specialties that I specialize in constitutional law and have represented a number of different non-traditional religions in challenges to them in the courts. In addition, I specialize in intellectual property and copyright law. And so what was happening here with the lawsuit that US&P brought against EJ and Doris, it seemed perfect for everything I've been preparing for up till now. Lonnie Cleaver, Professor Cleaver, is the chairman of the Religious Studies Department at Southern Methodist University. He's an expert that I've worked with on a number of cases, in which basically we've tried to and have convinced the courts that a spiritual movement that has never been established as a religion, in fact, is under the Constitution. It meets the constitutional definition of religion and is entitled to the First Amendment protections. And that's what we're trying to show in the court case here that US&P has brought, is really to show that everything that Doris has scribed is really revelatory material and fits right within the mainstream religions. And the same types of things that have happened here have happened in major religions and primitive religions all the way up to the present. And it's one of the things, I'll now turn this over to Lonnie, because he can give you a lot more information about that area.
One of the areas that I have made a special study of is new religious movements, non-conforming, if we can call them that, religious movements. In my heart, I'm a devout civil libertarian, which means, among other things, that I want to make the world safe for groups and movements that are not in the mainstream. To give them the space and the right to press their claims for truth in a kind of marketplace of truth without governmental interference and harassment. And as Terry has indicated, I've worked on a number of cases with him in this regard. My task as a professor of religion is to study religions objectively, which means to seek to understand them in their own terms, not to impose my definition of what is right or wrong, what is true or false on them, but to attempt to understand their faith, their way of life, their source of truth, in terms of their own self-understanding. And then to go one step further and to indicate the ways in which very diverse religious movements seen over a large and long spectrum of time and space nevertheless address what I call the perennial issues of the human condition, and as such seek to answer the same questions. I'm fond of telling my students at Southern Methodist that the religions may give different answers to the questions of human existence and of spiritual reality, but they all, in fact, address the same questions. And that allows us to appreciate and to respect the diversity and the variety of ways in which human beings have and continue to be religious. My hope in my role, as I understand it, in this litigation, is to help educate a judge and perhaps a jury on the legitimacy of newer non-conforming religious movements, and to protect and to defend their right to exist without, as I've indicated, governmental harassment or entanglement.
Thank you. In this case, the actual case itself, that is not necessarily going to be, unfortunately, in this case, is not necessarily going to be a matter of religion, because you can prove that everything is a religion. They want to prove that everything from our work was copied from theirs. I have allowed a demonstration this very week. Now, Dorma doesn't know this. This is another thing that Dr. Cleaver here has got to also come to understand, and that is the difference in my energy form and, in the instance of US&P, Germaine's energy form. And it shows up on paper. There's a style. There is an energy introduced. Terry was very open. I came to visit with Terry all the way from Bakersfield one day, and he was very gracious. And I said I would make myself available for deposition, whatever. He said, "No, I believe, sir, we'll save you for trial." Well, Dorma just quivers, you know. "All I do is sit in the basement," she says, "and work, and I don't understand how I am forever in trouble." Trouble is not what we're talking about here. Nothing was ever established or learned until you walked it and did it and learned it. You can grow this far. Let us take baby Shara. She doesn't want to stand in the middle of the floor, but you put her over to the chair and she'll, oh, very happy, ear to ear grin. Pretty soon she will be into absolutely everything that she could not reach before she could walk, which with a bright child is very little. They figure a way. If you stop your growing according to the religions of the world, you're going to go out here, and everybody has this right. And this is what I must have taken into a courtroom. Everyone has the right to believe whatever they want to believe, truth or lie. My job is to present truth so that you can make that next step up that ladder to your spiritual truth. But I've got to dig up through all the garbage of the generations of mankind to get there. You have to at least understand what you're talking about. How many in this room, for instance, well, that's not a fair question, because we've harped on this before, and most of you have been here before. How many of you even know what he meant when he was talking about the 13th Amendment? There's a 13th Amendment. What does it say? No, that is not the 13th Amendment in the Constitution that he's talking about. He is talking about the constitutional amendment that was removed. Now, if you don't know that, and nobody tells you that, how are you going to improve your lot? Now, I like that one because I have the most fun with it when I've got lawyers present. Mm-hmm. The original 13th Amendment that was truly ratified but was removed and buried said basically that no lawyers can be judges and none can serve in the government. It's a title and nobility. But if you don't know what's in your Constitution, and this is exactly what happens, I demand my constitutional rights. I demand to be treated under constitutional law. Say what? Somebody rattle off, please, just the Bill of Rights for me. If you don't know what your own rights are, how in the world can you possibly complain, demand? Maybe you're being treated under those laws. But you're not, are you? Your Constitution has been just buried down there. You now already act under the United Nations as a one-world government. But you see, the United Nations is a one-world government. It's only made up of the five entities of the Security Council. All of the world military will be a one-world military force, police force. And guess what? Because of the Charter of the United Nations, it will be under a Russian. So it's written and ratified. And your leaders did it. But if you don't know it, and you like everything that's going on, what difference does it make? Now, if you have your Uzi machine gun to defend yourself, and they come with their big blockbuster bull, you know, that one that did the large cannons that can shoot 100 miles, and he shows up with his big cannon and you got your little Uzi, you're outgunned, aren't you? Well, if you already have a police force in place, and it's called BATF, United Nations Peacekeepers, and they decide they want to disarm you, guess what? The only time that's going to bother you is when you think that you can only win with a gun. I can guarantee you, absolutely promise you, you live by that gun, you're going to die by that gun in violence. Knowledge will give you your freedom. But you've got to get it. And you've got to use it. And until you know what you are, how can you be anything other than what you are. And being's just fine. But look where it's gotten you. Look where it's gotten you. You have a world in shambles. You have a world already imprisoned. The facts are, you're a prison planet. Anybody want to argue, or could we talk about that just a minute? What is banishment? What is banishment? Mm-hmm. What do the Indians call banishment? That is when you disobey the laws deliberately. Let us say you murder, and you are banished. That means you are sent alone into the outlands. You are a prison banishment planet. And the reason that you have such evil sprouting up and multiplying is because you are a learning field where souls can experience and hopefully learn that it's not too good to live according to your rules and regulations of the gun just because you're bigger, more egotistical, and have more power than your brother. And you have no regulation in the universe, you get banished, my friends. Lucifer got banished right out of heaven. There is reality and truth to those myths. They may not even be exactly like they're on handed down. But any time you have a tradition and a myth, it's based on something. Now, who's Lucifer? Who's God? Who's the Son? Who is Jesus? Who is Isu? Who is Emmanuel? Who is Sananda? Who is Hatton? If you don't see it, it's not terrestrial. Only in its visible physical form is anything terrestrial. Therefore, everything else, everyone else, is extraterrestrial. So when you say, oh, ETs, and this is what happened in the USMP case. Well, but Dr. Russell got his from God. And she gets hers from ETs. Who's God? Do you see him? Everywhere you look, you see him. Everything is your relation, and it's living. And why is it living? Because it is manifest from the thought of God, Creator. And he has always manifest within the laws of the creation. There aren't any errors. And when you start limiting God, and I love these authors that go along and say, oh, well, God wouldn't do that. Oh, you've gone as far as you can go. Nothing can stop it. There's nothing can turn this around. That'd be BS. Oh, well, a good godly person, Commander, would not say BS. Beautiful sunrise. Do you see how silly? Do you see how your perceptions betray you? Do you understand what I'm talking about when I hold this up? Come on, Dorma, open your eyes so you don't just botch this. What is this? What does it look like? What does it look like? Why do you think it's Christmas?
Red and green.
Right. What do you think of that?
Halloween.
Fall.
Fall.
Why do you know that it's harvest rather or fall rather than Halloween? Because there are no pumpkins with faces or witches. They have little straw men and ladies. I want to. This is going to be a hard afternoon for her for a minute. She will get over it. Don't sympathize with her. Sympathize with me. I need to work with this blind woman. This is a cloth. I'm going to have her use water, and if she doesn't open her eyes, she's going to spill it. So we have plastic. Plastic keeps water from going through it. And this is because I know she will spill it. Now, am I manipulating her?
Yes.
Before she let me in, I had to go through all of the shenanigans that I will demonstrate to you. I heard Rick giggle. Up here, Rick. If I had said to Rick, I am Lucifer, I am Satan, and we're going to do some little evil chants up here, I don't care what I would have said to Rick, he would not have come. I will guarantee you he would not have come. And how can I cause her to act as my hands and my voice? I am not speaking English. She is translating from a pulse tone, a radio signal. We're also going to do something else in a minute. I ask that Paul and Dale be available, because both of them speak enough French to be able to communicate with one another. You don't have any idea, some of you who was on the other end of that phone, oh, Ron Jackson, who the hell is Ron Jackson? And what difference does it make? Well, it makes a whole lot of difference. So I have to show you something that we go through. She is willing to relinquish, but she never relinquishes her power. She is basically shy. She would be under the table, not up here. And if there's ever a confrontation, she will be under the couch instead of up here. But I want to show you something. Rick, would you stand up, please? I want Rick, because Rick is a good sport, and if he falls down, it won't hurt him. He's ready to ascend.
Here, I'll hold your wallet.
It's light.
It already has ascended. Now, I'm going to show you something. If I just said sleep, he would probably fall over if I did it properly. On the other hand, there is a whole line of communication going on between us, and he knows me well. And he's even worse than my other critics, because he pulls in Isu. Because he writes for Isu, he speaks for Isu, and he would say, oh, is this guy for real, sir? And if he gets an okay, he'll reconsider.
Commander? Let me turn the tape. We're nearly to...
Overly, I don't understand this.